Jack Daniels whiskey at 1.5. It's how the folks around here have been living their lives. Waking and baking every morning at 8. Make it to work, they're always late. Living by the
time. Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Real quick, coming up Monday, State Representative Jennifer Fidler will be with us, and Dale Jackson, and probably a guest to be named later. In the meantime, joining us on the line, he is our returning champion and also apparent assassin of the Fairhope K-1 Center, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Glad to be with you. I'm not sure about the K-1 Center. That's a school board owned property, and I was never on the school board. But maybe we'll get to the bottom of that caller's or texter's angst one day. We'll see.
Whenever I take young Jacks to the park here in Fairhope, and I look longingly at the fenced up building, and just think what could have been, the sad music starts playing, and I know it meant so much to a lot of people here that they are really sweating that. But I feel pretty good that we'll live to see another day, Senator, so we'll move on to other things. Kick it off here. So there's a rumor going around, a lot of people upset about this mass prison release. Maybe you are included among those, but well, let's just kick it off there. What's your take?
Well, I think you're right, and I think it's interesting that a lot of people are upset now. I've been upset about it for over 18 months when the governor included this in her call for the prison funding special session. I thought it was inappropriate for the call. I said so. I could not believe that it was pushed through as it was. And I think those chickens, if you will, are coming home to roost. We're seeing the implications of, the governor's push for that piece of legislation, and subsequently my colleagues vote for that legislation. Of course, not all of them. There were six of us in the Senate that voted against that legislation and spoke pretty passionately against it. Unfortunately, it went through anyway. But I do think there are a number of members that are seeing how the governor's office, and I say the governor's office, let's say the executive branch, is implementing that legislation, or rather is not doing a very good job implementing that legislation, and probably want to take another swing at it. So I filed a piece of legislation on Tuesday, which was the effective date of the legislation, if you will, the date it was set to go into effect. That would postpone the effective date of that legislation and really give my colleagues an opportunity to take another look at the impacts, take another look at the implementation, how the executive branch has implemented this, and see if really this is a good idea or not. I wasn't able to convince them 18 months ago. Hopefully, as they see this hit the ground and the rubber meet the road, if you will, or the felons hit the neighborhoods, then maybe they'll change their mind.
Well, not to open a little wound here, but I'm going to go back in the Wayback Machine here on this very program. Since it happened here on this show, you said 3 days after Nick Reisner was shot by an early release, how can you vote for this? And how can you say our thoughts and prayers are with Nick Reisner and his family, and then go 3 days later and go vote for this early release bill? You took some shots for it, but that stuck out in my mind at the time, that these guys were voting on this right after a cop got killed.
Yeah, and I'll show my cards there. I'll tell you, my colleagues were upset with me for those statements, and I understand that was something they didn't like being called on. But our votes have consequences, and we changed the law here, and we are, when the legislature takes action like this, whether it's at the governor's urging or leadership's urging or colleagues' urging, each member is responsible for their vote. And, I thought then, and I think now, that we need to, to look at what we've done here and make a decision as to whether or not we need to stay on that path. Look, I'm not perfect, and I have taken votes before that I look back on and wish I had voted a different way. And I'm sure my colleagues would all say they've been in the same boat. We've got an opportunity now, though, to look at not only the law itself, but how the law has been implemented and revisit it in this upcoming session. And I hope that we do that.
Well, let me ask you this, because I asked Pam Casey, a guest district attorney from Bullock County, earlier, is March too late? Or who knows how deep into March you go to, before you get to something like this? Does this need to be addressed sooner?
Well, that's a very fair question. Of course, the legislature is limited to the time it can act during the legislative session, short of a special session. I do not think that the governor is going to call a special session to undo a piece of legislation that she pushed hard for, and then that her, her own agencies, if you will, have really messed up the implementation of. I can't see her being able to do that. I would say this, though, and I will call upon the governor to issue an executive order to stop this release of inmates, and specifically as it relates to the release of inmates without monitoring. There are decisions being made, and I think the district attorney that you had on earlier mentioned this. There are decisions being made about violent offenders, murderers, that are being released without electronic monitoring, without any monitoring. That certainly was not the intent of the statute. While I may fault my colleagues for the spirit of the statute, that wasn't their intent either. No one thought that the administration was going to be releasing murderers early without electronic monitoring. That's something that needs to be fixed. And I think the governor needs to issue an executive order. It's something she certainly has shown a proclivity to do here of late, and stop this right now while she does a review. She certainly has the authority to do that while pending notifications and pending review of the procedures that they are using to release folks. Let us get back into session and go ahead and push the effective date back so that both the governor's office and the legislature can review this statute and its impact on public safety.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Let me ask you this. Now, the Bureau of Pardons and Paroles, I guess, is doing better, but the ADOC, I mean, when this bill was passed, was there any reason to believe that this beleaguered agency that doesn't seem to can do anything right with prison construction, with executions, with its own housekeeping inside the walls of these prisons, could get this one right? It seems like it's a leap of faith to put any kind of confidence in this agency for anything the legislative branch passes to them implement it in the spirit of the law that the legislature intended.
Well, I think some of that criticism is fair, and I think at this point for the legislature, we don't need to be putting anything else on the Department of Corrections to do. Whatever innovative, neat criminal justice reform, whatever feel-good thing of the moment that, somebody's come up with, we don't need to put anything else on the Department of Corrections right now. They need to focus on the federal lawsuits that they're under. They need to focus on keeping corrections officers safe. They need to focus on they need to be focused on keeping the prisoners safe. And above all, they need to be focused on keeping the public safe. That needs to be their focus right now.
Oh, hiring corrections. I mean, there's so many things. And what do they get right? I mean, I was kind of wondering when we heard that, at 18 months to notify these victims' families and these victims that these inmates were going to be released. 18 months, that's a long time. A lot changes in 18 months. But they had all that time, and they didn't. I mean, what does the average ADOC bureaucrat to come into work, and then what are they dealing with? What are they working on? I just have all these questions as to why this didn't make it to the top of the list.
Well, and that goes back to executive branch management. It's one of those things that as a former county commissioner frustrates me, because I used to be, the guy that got to manage the day-to-day operations. And as a legislator, as a senator, that's not something that is either in my purview or responsibility. But the only thing I can say is we need to make sure that we don't put anything else on the Department of Corrections other than the nuts and bolts. They need to hire corrections officers. They need to keep prisoners and most importantly, their corrections officers safe. And they need to focus on public safety, not any of this other stuff. We don't need to give them anything else to do right now to overload them or get them off of their what should be their core focus. And I'm afraid this piece of legislation did that. We've seen the result of that. There are all kinds of issues with communications between Department of Corrections and Department of Pardons and Paroles. There are all kinds of issues between communications between Department of Corrections and local law enforcement. I mean, Jeff, they sent out a law enforcement bulletin, an emergency special law enforcement bulletin that said, essentially, dangerous criminals are about to be in your neighborhood. That's what they sent out before they then turned around and released these folks, some of whom should have been and were not being monitored. How absolutely atrocious is that? And I cannot imagine what the executive branch was thinking here. The legislature certainly deserves some of the blame here, those certainly that voted for it, and even those of us that voted against it but didn't just lay down on the tracks for it. I mean, that was a busy special session. It was a busy special session for me with other pieces of legislation that I was carrying at the time. But my regret is that we didn't turn the car sideways and light the tires on fire for something that was important as this, and I'll take some of that blame as well.
Well, let me say this, though. I don't think any of us, I mean, I thought it was going to be low-level or lower-level criminals. I mean, that was the way it was told. That is the way Jim Hill, the chairman in the House, the judiciary portrayed it, and he still is defending it out there. I don't think anyone, if we had known that bill would have released murderers and rapist of any sort before the end of sentence, there's no way that thing would have passed. There's no way. And they for whatever reason, no one knew exactly what this bill did. There was no way to know, right?
If you don't know what the bill does and you're not comfortable with how it's going to be implemented, then don't vote for it. I mean, that's my rule all the time. No matter who tells you what is, you know, makes you feel good about it. I knew enough to know that this was a bad bill. I knew enough to make it clear on the floor and make it clear in committee and make it clear, you know, when caucus met that this was a bad bill and that it didn't have my support and that we really ought to rethink it. You know, if you go down the list of who voted against this, it's your conservatives that really were concerned about this. If you go down the list in the House of who voted against this, these are the law enforcement guys, you know, former police officers, former sheriffs, you know, that voted against this. They knew that this was going to be a bad piece of legislation. Now, there's some that should have known, based on their background, that it was a bad piece of legislation and voted for it anyway. And that's, you know, that's on them. But it's incumbent upon those of us that know that bad things are coming to sell our colleagues on it. And again, I'll admit I should have done a better job. I should have laid on the tracks on this one because we, you know, some of us knew it was not going to be a good situation. So I'll take some of the blame there, too.
My instinct, my perception of that special session at the time, it was really dicey. You as the legislature were going to take the ARPA money or CARES Act money, whatever, COVID money, let's say, and apply it toward prison construction. You had a surplus that you were able to use toward that, but it was a bad look, and it seemed to me like this was just a token gesture of goodwill, maybe by the governor to some of the Democrats to say, "Hey, we care." Or not, maybe not even for Democrats. Maybe it was just a complete PR sort of gesture to say that we're trying to work on this other side on criminal justice reform too, not just prisons. And this is what you got. That's the way it was. I sort of portrayed it that you know they had to give the other side something, and this is what they got.
But why does the other side have to have that? I don't buy that.
I agree.
I mean, forgive me.
Steamroll those guys.
Super majorities of Republicans in both chambers. There is no reason to be pushing legislation like that. That is contrary to public safety. There is no reason for leadership in either chamber to be pushing it. There's certainly no reason for the governor's office to be pushing it. And I don't understand. I really don't. I think that, you know, sometimes we need to do a better job looking at the legislation we're passing, we need to do a better job. It's incumbent upon us as legislators to do a better job foreseeing the impact of that legislation. And again, it's incumbent upon us to do a better job. Those of us who see it and who are concerned about it, to do a better job selling that concern. And again, that's where I'll take some of the blame here.
Well, I mean, something like this, Senator, steamroll those guys. The people of Alabama, they voted for a supermajority Republican legislature, a superminority Democrat. They have that is a clear indication to me that they are rejecting some of these Democrat positions on criminal justice. And yet we're always told, and this goes for a lot of other things, but on this one in particular, because it's so of such importance, we're always told, well, you know, they got to play nice with those guys, the minority rights. We don't need to upset Roger Smitherman too much because he might filibuster everything. That is not what the people voted for, though.
I completely agree. I will say that sometimes things like this happen, and it allows the pendulum to swing back in the other direction. And that may be the silver lining that comes out of this, is that we see significant changes to sentencing issues. We see significant changes to concerns about public safety and public safety legislation. We look at Senator Weaver and Representative Bedsole's legislation that deals with reform of good time. We look at some of these incentives, these early release incentives. We crack down. We passed legislation a couple of sessions ago that reformed pardons and paroles, because pardons and paroles was out of control, and it was doing things the wrong way. And we've seen a market shift in how that is working. Now it's time to look at sentencing. Now it's time to look at good time. It's time to look at, and it's time to take another look at this piece of legislation and make sure that we have folks in jail away, you know, violent people away from the public, so that we can continue to do one of our very core missions, which is protect the public safety.
Senator, I'll leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very kind, as always, to come on, and we will do this again next week.
Thanks, as always. Y'all have a great weekend and enjoy this beautiful weather.
State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back.